Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to The Drive on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Tune in on game day to hear him 3 hours before kickoff and immediately following the final whistle. Here's the new pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Kansas City wins the game!
Joshua Briscoe.
I do want to get Briscoe's thoughts here coming up in a bit. I promise you we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Just we're having a conversation about Shedeur Sanders. It is just, I will say this, and we are just doing the say it out loud test. It is mind-blowing to me how many people think a quarterback that played 2 years at a Power Four university, completed 71% of his passes, threw for 4,000 yards his second season, had 64 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in his 2 seasons at a Power Four university, was only drafted because of who his dad is. Like, maybe he's a decent NFL prospect, too, who just happens to have a famous father. Like, maybe. Now, I think that his father has contributed greatly to his notoriety, no question about it. But making it seem like Shedeur's own body of work has not warranted him being drafted into the National Football League is crazy to me. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe to get his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs, who don't have any of these quarterback issues. Briscoe, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, and I'll just add, honestly, I don't think I've heard a good Shedeur Sanders take yet. Anywhere, from any side. It has just become, one of the weirdly most toxic things in sports right now. It's like, he can play a little bit, that's fine, I'm cool with that. Let him play football, but I also don't need to see Josina Anderson's tweets about him either, man. It's really gotten, extremely weird.
Yeah, I know, everybody has just gotten weird when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, no question about it. We'll start with this. Would you rather have somebody spit on you or punch you in the nuts?
I heard a little bit of you talking to your guy from Houston earlier, and I heard that question come up, and I thought, God, I hope I get asked this question early in our segment. I'm gonna be honest, man. I know that these are two bad options. I'd rather have the thing that doesn't hit me in the genitals. So if you spit on me, that's disrespectful, and maybe I'm gonna do something in response that I'm not gonna be super proud of, but you're not going to medically harm me in a way that's gonna double me over to the ground. So I don't want either of those, but I'd rather be spit on than hit in the nuts.
Right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe.
Did you ask Mitch Holthus that question?
No, because we hadn't had the guy get hit in the nuts yet. Remember,
okay,
that happened last
enough.
Night on Monday Night Football.
Fair
I would have asked Mitch.
All right, ask Mitch next week.
Okay, I'll remember this. I gotta ask Mitch Holthus this question.
Don't tell him I told you to do it. I'm not gonna tell him
exactly where it came from. Hey, Joshua Briscoe from the Chiefs Radio Network wants to know this. I'm 100% gonna ask him this question.
We've gotten along so pleasantly so far, and I feel like things have really gone well. I don't need any of that brought into question now. I feel like I've made it to Thanksgiving without incident. Don't make that the first one.
Briscoe, I want you to be honest here. When Kareem Hunt fumbled the ball, did you think the season was over?
It was definitely the lowest point. I'm optimist pilled now, because I'm here every game day. Happens, Oh, did I lose you guys there for a second?
We got you, man.
My AirPods connected. Okay, sorry. I have to be an optimist because I'm going to be here every game day. Like, I am going to be talking about this team regardless of what's happening. I was doing it in the preseason, right? So I've got my optimism and my rose-colored glasses on, I guess. They could have lost that game and the season wouldn't have been over, but I will say when Kareem Hunt lost the fumble, I stopped believing that the Colts game was going to go that way, and with the thought of, oh, they're going to lose the Colts game, now we're going to have to ask them to win half a dozen games in a row without dropping any of them. It was the closest I've been to believing that the season was over in a really, really, really long time.
Yeah, I argue that this was as down bad as the Chiefs have been since the fourth quarter of the first Super Bowl. Like, if you're down 20-10 with 8 minutes to go, that's not a game that you're supposed to win. Certainly not supposed to win by double digits. Like, the Chiefs look dead in the water. They had blown another red zone opportunity, another fumble, another mistake. It just felt like everything was piling on Kansas City. And for them to turn it around on really both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, and show that they still have that fight. And now I would argue that both of these teams, Kansas City and Dallas, they find themselves in basically the exact same spot. Both had a great win on Sunday, great momentum, and now you're seeing if you can keep that momentum going, or if you lose, it's going to feel like everything you did on Sunday is for nothing.
Right, and it's why I found myself kind of against my better judgment rooting for the Eagles on Sunday, because I was like, I don't like a frisky, good vibes Cowboys team coming together to bring this thing into the spotlight on Thanksgiving for this game that's going to be such an enormous national stage and two teams with at this point, the biggest brands in the sport, both in that same spot, playing for their playoff lives. Like, it's not a playoff game, but it's as close of one as you're going to get on Thanksgiving Day, and with it being the Chiefs and Cowboys, it might as well be the NFL's chosen Super Bowl in a lot of ways. So, I mean, it really does feel like this game is going to get kind of the pomp and circumstance it deserves. And we're used to propping up some Thanksgiving football over the years of, okay, well, maybe the Cowboys are almost contenders, or, ooh, you know what? These last few years, the Lions are pretty good. Maybe we'll get some real football out of them. This game has, like, honest to goodness, like, that top shelf matchup kind of vibes, especially with the Cowboys having a little bit of a corner turn defensively since adding Quinnen Williams. And that offense has been unbelievable all year. They have two freaks catching the football. I mean, this is really good stuff that we're lining up to get on the holiday.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. We're getting his thoughts on the Colts win. Also looking ahead to the game against the Dallas Cowboys. This is something that I don't want to get swept under the rug in all of the conversation about Sunday's win. I really think Travis Kelce going up to Kareem Hunt and his response to the fumble, I think, was one of those Raul Labanez, Mike Moustakas speeches that really, really rallied the team and got them going. I think in that moment, your team leader coming up to him, the hug, the embrace, telling you that we need you and keep your head in it, I think the rest of the team fed off that energy the remainder of the game.
I think you're right, and I like it a lot, because we've talked so many times about, like, all of the different forms of accountability, and when you want somebody to just, like, scream at someone, and when you want to make sure you're picking someone up, and the specifics of Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce being the two guys in that vignette, and I'm glad the TV cameras caught it the way they did, where it's just, like, one of those big, aggressive hugs of, what, like you just said, we're gonna need you here, man. Like, this thing isn't over yet, but it is if your head is out of it. The path that Kareem Hunt has taken, and, like, look, obviously the reason and the timing of him leaving Kansas City the first time has been well covered, and it sucks. Like, it was a terrible way for that tenure to end and all of that. But the ultimate story of what Kareem Hunt is able to do, bookending some disappointing years in Cleveland with his time in Kansas City, Travis Kelce knew that guy, and he had the Cleveland connection that is built in there, and he was able to be in the trenches with him in 2017 and 2018, and a guy who has not been a fumbler, but has one incredibly memorable fumble from the beginning of his NFL career to that moment against Indy, and again, kind of hanging in the balance like we talked about. Are you going to decide on the sideline right now, is this season going to keep going, or are you going to be playing wish upon a star levels of catch up against the rest of the AFC the rest of the way? That is a moment for me, absolutely, where it's a different form of leadership, and it's a different form of team building and the camaraderie and what they've all been through together at this point. I'm sure Kelce reacts a very, very similar way if that's anybody else fumbling the football, but I found it particularly poetic being him and Kareem Hunt.
right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe, getting to some of the top storylines with the Chiefs. Can you explain to me, and you're a really smart individual, so maybe you have the answer to this. Can you explain to me why on 2nd and 10 in overtime, the Chiefs handed the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and are you ready to join me in a petition for the Chiefs to never give him another carry?
I'm not that smart. I appreciate it. That's really nice, but I'm definitely not smart enough to petition that. No, I don't know why that's the play call there. I understand why Clyde gets the call-ups. I understand the comfort level of having a guy that knows your protections. And when the most important thing that you can do is protect Patrick Mahomes, I get it. And Clyde seems like an all-time vibes guy. You talk about like the locker room and everybody loving everybody else. Clyde seems to be like absolutely the cream of the crop there. And I get it. I do not think he needs to be getting touches in that circumstance. I don't know that he needs to be getting touches if Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt and Breshad Smith are all active on the same day. I will talk to you about Damian Pierce if you'd like, but I think that there's a path down the road where he's the next guy up getting a few of those touches. But yeah, I don't need 2nd and 10 shotgun handoffs to Clyde or really to probably anybody in this offense as currently constructed.
What do you see as Damian Pierce's role on the team? I think he's going to primarily help them in special teams, but what do you think his role is?
I think depth is kind of a cop-out, but I do think that's legit, of just like a guy who can do some of that straight ahead running stuff that frankly is like kind of similar to the running styles of Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Not even that they're terribly similar running backs, because they're not. They do things differently and in different ways. But if you think about, like, okay, do you have some comfort running the ball out of shotgun, which the Chiefs obviously prefer to do? Can you hit the hole and just move forward? And I think that that's a reasonable ask for a guy who has shown an ability to do that at the NFL level. However, again, I heard your conversation earlier in the show with your guy in Houston, and here's the comp that I'll give, and it's, you know, I'm about to double dip on a guy that we just talked about. But when the New Orleans Saints signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it was his age 25 season. They had just parted ways with the Chiefs. Obviously, he was a first-round pick who had a really good rookie season, but got banged up, never really got healthy, never had quite the same burst after that. Obviously, off-the-field stuff, too, that ends up being kind of an inspirational story in that right. But when the Saints signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, no one in Kansas City was going, oh, man, he's going to fix their running back room. Nobody in Houston is going to look at Damian Pierce and say, oh, man, I can't believe he's going to go save the Chiefs running back group. That's incredible. It's a very similar story in terms of you fall in love with the rookie. He has some effect in his first season. He gets injured. He's not quite the same guy. I think Damian Pierce is in his like Clyde Edwards-Helaire year 4 kind of stage. Now, can the Chiefs get more out of him than the Saints did out of Clyde? Absolutely. And frankly, I expect them to. I also think they need to, because this running back room does need another professional running back in it. And this is a good free way to add it instead of having to make a move at the deadline or whatever. But I do think it's going to benefit everybody to keep expectations low until he gets the call up. And I don't think it's going to be Thursday in Dallas, barring something really surprising. But if he's out there and he returns a kick for you, or maybe gets a couple offensive touches against Houston at football in a little more than a week against the team that just cut him, that makes sense to me. So I don't think he's going to end up taking Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt workload snaps, but I think he could step in and do some of the same things they've asked Clyde, or very briefly Elijah Mitchell, or maybe some of those carries for Breshad Smith to do. I think Pierce has less speed, less burst, less dynamicism than Breshad Smith does, but if they can trust Pierce to just do some of the kind of basic running back stuff, he is useful. And right now, I'll take that.
Sunday was the highest number of under center rush attempts that the Chiefs have had while Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback. They ran it from under center 16 times. They averaged 2.9 yards per carry on those attempts. Does that matter to you? Because for Rob, it matters. Hey, they tried it. It wasn't super effective. This isn't a sustainable model moving forward. I think it helped control time of possession. It helped control the tempo of the game. And I don't think anybody expects the Chiefs to have a great run game, but they can't abandon the run game, and it has to be a part of the game flow that the opposition has to respect. I think the fact that the opposition had to respect it opened it up for Patrick Mahomes to throw for 350 yards and make some of those throws down the field, because it kept the defense honest. Where are you at with the Chiefs run game and how effective it was on Sunday, even though the numbers might not have been there?
Well, yeah, I think it was situationally effective, and I think that's kind of what I'm asking for from the running game for the most part. And you guys talked to Mitchell Schwartz last week, I think, and that would have been after he did his little breakdown of the RPO against the Broncos. And I've thought about that a lot over the last week, because when you do have an RPO into a light box, and I can't remember if it was the linebacker or if it was a box safety, who is literally turning his hips away from the hole to go cover the pass on the first play of the game, or, heck, the second play of the game against Indianapolis, a defensive end who is in no way concerned there's going to be a handoff and he's just ready to play the passing lane because he's seen this before. You want to make sure that you're a little bit more dynamic than that. You want to make sure you have a little bit more variety than what the Chiefs have shown a few times this year. So I also think the Colts are kind of interesting because they're not the run defense that, say, the Bills were. And the Bills game, I think if you end up with twice as many under center running plays as the Chiefs actually had, they might have won that football game because that was a pretty effective, efficient way of moving the ball. Kareem Hunt was averaging 4.5 yards a carry against Buffalo. I'd like to see them continue to have that in the mix. And I think having Pacheco back will help. Having Hunt off of a 30-carry day is probably not going to lead to another 20-carry day for him in Dallas. And they're not going to run 90-some plays on Thursday either, you assume. But I do think you need to be able to show that it's something you're willing to do when effectively the defense is begging you to do it. When the defense says, we dare you, we're daring you to run the football because we don't think you're going to, then you need to be able to run the football, take those 6 yards on first down, set up second and medium, and then you're cooking from there. So I don't need them to build the entire plane out of that. I never want to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands on a regular basis. But like when Matt Nagy talked today, and he's talked in recent weeks about the breather runs, that takes a little bit of the burden off of Patrick Mahomes' shoulders, I'm willing to do that for 3 yards in a cloud of dust every once in a while, because I have seen some of those repeated things in the offense get a little bit stuffy this year. And I think having the option to hand the football off and then fight on 2nd and 6 or 2nd and 7, I'm okay seeing that a little bit until defenses start to key in on it. When defenses start to key in on it, you start throwing on first down again. That's the chess match of every NFL football game, and it's why I think the sport rules so much.
To me, the conversation about this really comes down to how much do you think they trust Isaiah Pacheco, because they have shown great belief in Kareem Hunt over the last year and a half. Basically, since he's gotten back, they've trusted him in short yardage. They've given him volume. They've given him the ball in ways that they have never given Isaiah Pacheco the ball. That's the question to me moving forward, especially in this game. You would have to assume, coming off 30 carries in a short week, that you're not using Kareem Hunt to get 15, 20 carries or so. Do they trust Kareem to get his normal 11 or 12? And do they trust Isaiah Pacheco to also get 11 or 12 carries to keep that balance?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it really makes me wish that this was well into Pacheco's recovery process and that he was clearly 100%. I mean, again, Andy saying today he wasn't going to, like, put a pitch count on it or whatever. That makes sense. Hopefully, Pacheco being held out and getting those extra few days to be ready for this game, that hopefully that does end up being just taking him off ice and letting him be in a place where he is ready for 10 or 15 touches or for a workload where he is fresh and explosive. But it's, you know, this isn't Rashee Rice off of suspension where he hadn't been getting hit all year. I am still kind of worried about Isaiah Pacheco's knee. What's the brace going to look like on Thursday, and what kind of explosion will he have there? I think the framing of trust is pretty interesting, because the Chiefs have trusted Isaiah Pacheco to be on the field. They've trusted him to be a really important part in this offense. Frankly, maybe the most trust they've shown in him was this offseason when they didn't make a significant move to try to upgrade over him at running back. It was bring back Kareem Hunt, add Breshard Smith at the end of the draft, and then the first of those moves was signing Elijah Mitchell, which is obviously hasn't manifested into anything. I think that they want to trust Isaiah Pacheco, and they have wanted to be able to rely on him that way. But since the broken leg, he hasn't moved quite the same way, and I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to see a diminished version of him with a potentially bulky knee brace and coming off this injury. But if he can be a guy that still can just ram his head through the offensive line 10 times a game, and again, I would also like to see him get some more under center opportunities as well, because we know that his vision isn't exactly his calling card at this point. I'd like to see that attempted, considering the unbelievable workload that Hunt has taken in recent weeks.
I'll get you out of here with these last two questions. First question is, give us a hot Thanksgiving take. Like, what is a take that people get mad at you for? Like, mine was, you know, I'm not putting sweet potatoes on my plate. I got no interest in putting sweet potatoes on there. What's yours?
I'll tell you what, I am not a sweet potato guy either. It's just, this is the diabetes coming through. But it's just all carbs on carbs on carbs. You've got sweet potatoes, that's starchy carbs. You're putting brown sugar on there, that's more carbs. You're putting marshmallows on there, I'm literally, like, I'm running out of insulin just talking about it. I think you're going to agree with this hot take. This might not be that hot. But in general, I love a weird food. I iterate on a recipe, throw a curveball, freshen it up a little bit. Let's try something different. I love variety, the spice of life. Not on Thanksgiving, I don't. On Thanksgiving, I would like the recipes to be off of note cards that are older than I am. Or, in some instances, I want the recipe that's on the back of the box. If you're gonna make some stovetop stuffing, just do that. I found out, as an adult, that my grandma's green bean casserole recipe that I love, that was from the side of the can of cream of mushroom soup. But it was already in my bones, the nostalgia of those flavors. So I think I just want to go ahead and play it old school, which again, and maybe that's just the right take. Maybe we can all unite over this. I will have weird twists on recipes 364 days out of the year. But on Thanksgiving, I want it like I had it when I was a kid.
This guy on the text line has sent three different texts asking me to ask you about your review on Wicked 2. I've never seen Wicked 1. All I know is Ariana Grande is Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. That's all I know about this movie.
Yeah, you nailed it. Don't look at the text line for a little while, because that's exactly true. Ariana Grande is not Dorothy.
She's not Dorothy? Who is she then?
It doesn't matter. She's Galinda. She's the Good Witch. I haven't seen Wicked 2 yet. We're going to go see it tomorrow.
Hold on. The Wizard of Oz is about Dorothy and her trying to meet that's not what Wicked's about.
It's awesome to me that you thought for two entire promo campaigns and one of these movies out that you thought
Ariana Grande
was Dorothy.
She was Dorothy.
That's awesome. I mean, that is my favorite reading of Wicked I've ever heard. My wife has seen the show multiple times. We're going to go see it tomorrow. I haven't seen part two yet. I enjoyed part one fine. It's not like my favorite thing in the world. But what is my favorite thing in the world is you finding out that Ariana Grande is not playing Dorothy. That's awesome. You've made my holiday season.
Yeah. Joshua Briscoe joining us on the show today. Rob and I have to talk about this on our own time because my mind is blown right now. I appreciate you joining us on the show, man. Happy holidays.
Rob, you knew this, right? Happy holidays, guys. Rob, do not disconnect me. I want to hear the following conversation. Thanks, guys. I'll be here.
That's Joshua Briscoe joining us on the show. Hold on. See, I'm learning something here. Someone just texted this in. Wicked is not the same as Wizard of Oz. Wicked is about the witches in Wizard of Oz. I didn't know this. This is what I thought Wicked was. I thought it was like a updated reimagining of the story. So I always thought this entire time that Ariana Grande was just quite simply like new modern hip Dorothy, and she was going through the Wizard of Oz. That's what I've thought this entire time. You're telling me that that's not what it is. Then I have absolutely no clue what Wicked is about then.
So full disclosure, my wife loves Wicked. We own Wicked 1. We've now seen Wicked 1 and Wicked 2. She is to Wicked what I am to Kansas Athletics. She loves it. She can't get enough of it. It's just, it's everywhere. Here's the basic premise of Wicked. It's basically what's happening with the witches, with Dorothy and everything in the background, but you never see Dorothy. She's part of the story, but not part of the story. So, Wicked Witch of the West, you get her backstory. You get...
That's the Cynthia girl.
No, it's her sister. She's the...
I don't want to know anymore.
She's the Wicked Witch of the East.
You confuse me more than I was confused from the very, very beginning.
Wicked Witch
of
the West.
So who's Cynthia then? What's her name? Anivo?
She's the one that lives. Wicked Witch of the East, I believe.
Who's the Wicked Witch of the West? Do we see? Is that Ariana Grande?
No. Ariana Grande is still Galinda. She's the Good Witch from the beginning of Wizard of Oz. The woman in pink.
Y'all got it.
Jeff Goldblum is the wizard.
No, you got it. You know what I feel like? I feel like right now, if you tried to explain why your body doesn't have to be in the end zone for it to be a touchdown, that's what I feel like is happening. Like, you can't really explain the rules for some of these things. Like, when people start asking why, it just makes less and less sense. Everything that you have tried to describe to me, I don't know anything about it. I'm very, very confused if that was the case. I'm very, very confused.
I will say, the first one's not bad. Second one, I've seen it. Quick recap, not as good as the first. It's also a musical, which I think is noteworthy here, too, if you're going to go see this.
Okay. Y'all got it. You know what? I have learned in pop culture that everything is not for everybody. Wicked is not for me. I'm not its demographic. Hey, if you like Wicked, hey, great. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you love it. Obviously, they're doing very, very well. They're talking about having a Wicked universe. They made like, what, $150 million this weekend? So clearly people like it. I don't know anything about it.
It's just prequels. That's the answer. It's a prequel to Wizard of Oz. Two prequels leading into Wizard of Oz.
I got you.
And I apologize, I'm wrong. Cynthia's Wicked Witch of the West, she lives. Her sister, Wicked Witch of the East, dies, which you do get to see.
Okay. Do we know who is that, like another famous person?
I don't know if the person is famous.
Who else is in this movie other than them two? Because that's all I see is I see Ariana Grande and the Cynthia. How do you pronounce the woman's last name? Arrivo?
I believe it's Arrivo.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
There's those two. There's Jonathan Bailey, who is in the new Jurassic Park.
Okay, all right.
There's Jeff Goldblum. You know Jeff
I know
Goldblum.
Him, yeah,
Jeff
for sure. Yeah, I know who he is. There we go. Somebody I know.
I think it's pronounced Michelle Yao. Is Michelle Yeo. She's in a bunch of stuff you've probably seen.
Okay.
She's the mom in Crazy Rich
Asians. No, I got it. Y'all got it. No, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense to me. Y'all got it. You guys can have it. I don't want any parts of it. None, actually. Good luck to you guys as you go watch Wicked this weekend. I'm sure it's going to be a very, very exciting time for all who participate. Coming up on the other side, we're going to play a very simple game called Fraud Alert. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So I was reading a story earlier today, and the story was about what the Chiefs' Achilles heel is. And in this story, they quoted an anonymous NFL executive, and he said, and I quote, at some point this season, the lack of pass rush is going to come back to bite the Chiefs in the arse, is what he said, end quote. And it got me thinking, and this is something that someone brought up yesterday. Like, man, if you got to keep winning games this way, maybe you're not a Super Bowl contending team. Rob, I want to go through the contenders that you see them in the AFC, and let's have a conversation about what you think their flaw is. And I'm curious what you think the Chiefs' Achilles heel is, because I would say that pass rush is their Achilles heel. I think that then causes the other problems when it comes to their defense. Their defense doesn't really take the ball away. A major reason of why I don't think they take the ball away is you don't really get pressure and disrupt timing. So you don't force sacks on the quarterback. You don't tip passes. You don't do those things, which usually leads to errant throws and poor decision making. I agree that that is a flaw of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think in this exercise, we'll find out that all of the teams that you think can really make some noise in the AFC all have, I would say, an equally very big red flag that they are dealing with. Let's say that you were talking about the New England Patriots. New England's starting quarterback has never started in a playoff game. That's significant heading into this. I know they're a good football team, and your coach can have all the experience in the world. He can't give you the experience of it's 3rd and 7, and this completion can make or break your season. And if you look at Drake May, it's not like Drake May played in a lot of big-time college football games. We're not talking about a guy that went to Ohio State where he played in a couple of these. He went to North Carolina. So as these games start to get more and more important, they're going to be by far and away the most important games that you've played in, period, in your life. How do you respond to those moments? Because we've seen a lot of really good quarterbacks. And basically, aside from Patrick Mahomes, almost all of these quarterbacks in their first go round when it came to the postseason, they really struggled early on. We can go back and look at Josh Allen for how great Josh Allen is. Go back and look at the numbers for Josh Allen's first playoff game against the Houston Texans. He was terrible in that game. So the Patriots are relying on somebody who just doesn't have necessary playoff experience. And you only get that through the kind of season that he is having. Is that what you see as the Patriots' fatal flaw heading into the postseason? Or do you think it's something else for them?
I think it's that, but I will put this caveat on it. I have not seen the latest injury report on Will Campbell, but right now their left tackle and their left guard are hurt. In Kansas City, maybe better than any city in America, we know what a hurt offensive line in the postseason can do problematically to an offense. So I will put the caveat, if Will Campbell's injury is more serious than we believe, and again, I have not seen a full injury upon Will Campbell, playing with a backup left tackle in the postseason is a problem. But outside of that, Drake May's inexperience. But I will say, I, as someone who believes in Drake May, I think I can get covered by Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniel, but the health of their left tackle is also on the list.
Yeah, I just think there's always, to me, a certain extent that you can kind of cover up your quarterback, but football just puts you in these situations where it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, and you need your quarterback to make a play. I'm not saying Drake May can or cannot make this play. We have no real evidence to suggest one way or the other, but we know very, very quickly that Drake May is about to be thrown into the fire, and usually quarterbacks that are making their first round in the postseason, they usually struggle when it comes to these scenarios. We don't know how he handles this. Lamar Jackson has been the best regular season quarterback, one of the best that we've ever seen. He struggles in these January kind of games. What if that ends up being the case for the quarterback that we are discussing? What do you think the Broncos' fatal flaw is?
Bo Nix.
I think there's a chance that this is the weird thing about him, though.
He makes just enough plays to win.
Every single time he makes just enough plays.
But we saw in Kansas City, with a better quarterback, you keep playing with fire, you get burned. You keep, putting your hand near the stove, you're eventually going to say it's too hot and I'm hurt. Bo Nix is surviving in advance against the Chiefs and the Jets and the Texans and all those teams in the regular season. Can he do that in 3 weeks, maybe 4, a succession to win a Super Bowl? I don't think so. He's been so pedestrian this year. That does not. You talk about Daniel Jones being a guy that can't win a Super Bowl. Man, oh man. I don't think Bo Nix, the way he's currently playing, is a guy that can win the Super Bowl.
I think you could make the argument that the Broncos will have the worst offense of any of the teams that make the playoffs in the AFC. Now, let's see what happens with Jacksonville. And the numbers look like Jacksonville's offense is better than Denver's, even though I think I would trust Denver's offense more in the postseason than I would trust Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. But the Broncos are going to quite possibly head into the AFC postseason with the worst offense. I would love to look historically, even just from a numbers standpoint. Hey, when was the time that the team with the worst offense went to the Super Bowl, whether it was in the AFC or the NFC playoffs? Seems like a really, really difficult thing to do in modern times if we were talking about quarterbacks scoring points and doing those things. I'm with you. I think that's their fatal flaw. I would say the exact same fatal flaw exists for the Indianapolis Colts when it comes to their quarterback and how much you trust him in those pressurized situations. I just don't think Daniel Jones is good enough. I think we all know who Daniel Jones is. I think he's Alex Smith. Remember we used to call every quarterback Alex Smith for that five-year stretch? That's exactly who I think Daniel Jones is. He is good enough to help you be 11-5. He's good enough to help you be 11-4 in the right situation, the right coaching, the right scenario. But ultimately, the Colts are going to play a team with the quarterback that is clearly better than he is, and that guy just doesn't have the ability to make the one or two possible plays that you would need to advance in the postseason. I feel like we all know this about the Colts, so I'm just not going to walk around pretending like they're a team that has a chance to make noise once it starts to get colder.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying about the Colts. I just think everything you're saying about the Colts is applicable to the Broncos. Daniel Jones, in a good way, he's Alex Smith. He makes enough plays to win regular season games. He's inconsistent. And when you pair him with a good offensive mind, he's actually not terrible. He's just not elevate the people around him good. And I don't know the pieces around Indianapolis are also that great. Like Michael Pittman and Tyler Warren are good. And I mean, excuse me, Tyler Warren and Jonathan Taylor are really good. I think Michael Pittman's a little overrated, and I think their defense is maybe a little bit overrated too. So I think there's more at fault with the Colts than we like to see, but Daniel Jones is definitely the fatal flaw.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Today, we were joined by Trent McDuffie. He was our Chiefs interview of the week. We'll play that for you in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Kansas looks like they are going to win their matchup against Syracuse. Kansas has a 67-58 lead with less than a minute to go in their matchup. So Kansas is going to move to 5-2. Rob, coming up on the other side, why don't we get your thoughts on KU's win in Las Vegas? They have won two consecutive games in the Players Era Tournament. We'll find out who they play tomorrow. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we had a guest earlier on the show today to talk about Dameon Pierce. We have cut that down to exactly 5 minutes. We will play that for you coming up in a bit. Kansas just won their basketball game. They won 71-60 in Las Vegas against Syracuse. This has been a good week. If you're a KU fan, you have to be proud of what they've done so far this week. With no Darren Peterson, they beat Notre Dame and I think won that game pretty convincingly at a neutral site, and they just beat Syracuse without him. If you were telling me that they lost on the road at North Carolina and lost to Duke at a neutral site without their best player, I don't really know how unhappy you could be if you're a KU fan based off what has happened so far this season and also not having your best player for basically the entire start of the season. Rob, you're a KU fan, season ticket holder. What do you make of their win today against Syracuse?
Well, I mean, we were kind of talking about it in the break. We both had it on back here. I think this Kansas team, the idea that, oh man, they're really falling off and they've just disappeared, I think their demise has been largely exaggerated. Do I think without Darren Peterson, they're one of the top 10 teams in the country? Absolutely not. But I don't think they're just a bunch of schmucks who can't get it done. I think people thought that because they played Duke. But Duke is really, really good. These are two impressive wins against teams that will be fringe tournament teams, but they are by no means, it's not like you're playing Mercer or East Tennessee State. These are impressive wins. And what is standing out to me is, and you brought up with Matt Tate when we had him on the show a few weeks ago talking about Darren Peterson's injury, there's a chance with him injured that maybe a third type of score kind of begins to arrive and, you know, show up. Trey White in back-to-back games has been really good for this team. He had 15 tonight and then added 10 rebounds and 6 of 6 from the line. Like, Trey White was good tonight. And if you're telling me Darren Peterson's healthy in what we hope is a week, and you have Floyd Badunga, Darren Peterson, and
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Trey White can be a legitimate scorer. That's a team that, yeah, they're not as good as Houston on paper, but that's a team that you would put up against any team in the country and thinks on a given night you can go get that opponent.
I mean, I feel like the question for Kansas is, and I never really questioned it with Trey White, like that was a big swing that they took in the portal and it hit. The question to KU and what you think their ceiling can be really, to me, come down to Council and Tiller. How good can you get them toward the end of the season? And if you can get contribution from those guys in addition to those three players that you mentioned, Kansas has a chance to be pretty dangerous. But it really comes down to how you develop them, because this is not going to be a deep Kansas team. They got six, maybe seven players that you like for this team. I don't really think they're getting much past that this year. And once you get Darren Peterson back, what do you get from Cole Rosario? What do you get from Bryson Tiller? What do you get from Melvin Council? That's going to define to me what the ceiling you think this KU team can be, unless Darren is just hands down the best player in the country.
Well, it's possible Darren is. It's worth noting, Tiller had 11 tonight. He looked good as well. You'll appreciate this. Do you want to hear, before we go back to Landry Locker, do you want to hear Melvin Council's shooting line tonight?
He can't shoot. I tried to tell you that. I saw the kid play one time and told you he couldn't shoot.
I feel bad laughing. He was 3 of 15 from the field.
How many threes did he take?
He took 4.
Missed all of them, didn't he?
1 of 4.
Stop. I tried to tell that kid cannot shoot. I don't know who told him he could shoot. Drive to the basket.
To be
drive
fair.
Drive to the basket.
He had 11 2-point shots in this game.
Didn't make those either.
He went 2 for 11.
It don't sound like he was making anything today. Earlier today, we had Landry Locker on the show. He covers the Houston Texans. We asked him what made the Texans move on from Dameon Pierce. Here's what he said.
He's really just been unplayable the last 2 years. And I'm not saying that as a knock on him. I'm just saying that based on what the actions have shown since the rookie season. The rookie season went well. And then in year two, they tried to use him, but Devin Singletary was a clear backup. Now, the front office said, well, it's a system thing. It's a system thing. It's a system thing. And then they went back to the other system. And since then, he's just kind of, he doesn't have very good vision. And I think he's worn out, and I think he's worn down since that rookie season, because if you look at, and this was the biggest talk about him when they picked him, at Florida, he only had double-digit carries 8 times. which is kind of crazy. Like a running back that gets drafted that doesn't really possess like a receiving skill set. In 4 years, he carries the ball 8 times. And then in a year and a half, the Texans gave him double-digit carries and sometimes high double-digit carries 20 times in a year and a half. I think he's worn out. There's always soft tissue injuries. The vision is not great. So I don't think he's an upgrade over Kareem Hunt by any stretch of the imagination. But I do know there are a lot of teams interested in him, and I guess it's kind of slim pickings at this point if you need backs.
Do you think he could step in and be a number two? Because this team is obviously going to rely on Kareem Hunt. He's their short yardage back. He's been their most reliable running back probably now for a year and a half. But I think right now the Chiefs are just looking for – they're looking for anything in the run game. They're looking for any kind of spark. I guess two-part question here. Do you think he could just come in and be an RB2? You're asking him to get somewhere between 4 to 6 touches in a game. What could he do with that? And how much of his struggles do you think could be attributed to the offensive line for the Houston Texans that has really struggled for the last year or so?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely talk about the offensive line. It's just my issue would be that Singletary was a clear upgrade. As far as being an RB2, like if you just tell him, hey, run as hard as you can, I think he can potentially do that. The problem is they have a running back that they use more than him because they trust him more so in the Texans in pass blocking. So if you're asking him to like pass block for Patrick Mahomes, that's not really a strength of his game either. But if you're just saying, hey, run as hard as you can for 6 times, maybe something can happen there. But I would not envision Damian Pierce making a significant impact there. He's easy to root for, though. He's a very likable guy, very country. But I don't know that he has much left in the tank.
I mean, the way you're describing him, he sounds like the perfect kind of Chiefs running back. He struggles with vision, can't pass block country. I mean, that guy's going to be loved here in KC.
Yeah, they're going to love him until maybe they watch him play. The other thing the Texans kind of, they liked him kick returning for some reason, and we could never really figure that out. There was one kick return a few years ago, and then there the kick return, like he would be active and they would use him on kick return kind of confusingly. So I don't know if the Chiefs like him in that area. I would doubt it, but I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't last long and they're bringing in someone else off the street. But he's hey, why not?
Last couple of questions here, Landry. Appreciate your time. How would you say that Damian Pierce's hands are? They love a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Not great. Not great, really. I mean, I don't that he's just you're not going to line him up in the slot or anything like that. It's really just run as hard as possible. The hands are not really great. That's part of what kept him off the field between the pass blocking and the hands.
Someone on the text line just said, hey, I want to apologize for what I said about Damian Pierce about 5 minutes ago. You have single-handedly just thrown water on any level of excitement that people had on Damian Pierce.
Well, the thing about it is I truly think he's just worn down. And I'm not like it when you have 8 games with double-digit carries in college and then all of a sudden you have 20 in a year and a half and you are asking him to do that, like, even when he would get something going here, there would be like some sort of soft tissue injury. But the one thing I will say is places like Kansas City, a lot of times will revive players that aren't useful here, which is why I'm actually, he wasn't working here, but I'm happy that he gets another chance because he is very easy to root for. And you never know, Andy Reid might be able to maximize his skill set. It's not like the Texans running back room is, you know, good. And it's not like they assess offensive players at a high level. So this could just be another example of, you know, someone not working out in here and going and finding better places to perform.
That was our guy Landry Locker, who joined us on the show earlier today. Coming up on the other side, we'll react to what you just heard, his evaluation of Damian Pierce. I'll give you mine. We'll also get you ready for Thursday's game between the Chiefs and the Cowboys. And right now, I look at the screen. Bill Self is sitting down after their win today against Syracuse in the Players Era Tournament. We'll talk about that. We'll also get you ready for Thanksgiving football. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.